town that covers 533 square miles and is the second largest town in that state is Nashville, Tennessee. 500,000 people live within the city limits of Nashville, Tennessee. And ever since the 1930s, very early 30s, it's been the largest country music recording center in the world. Everybody goes to Nashville, Tennessee to record country music. In the town of Nashville is what is called Grand Ole Opry, if you remember that. A huge barn-shaped music hall attracted 2 million people a year into the walls to hear people like Roy Acuff sing songs like Back in the Country. Be honest with me and Speckled Bird. They gathered in that big barn to hear Ernest Tubb sing Remember Me, I'm the One Who Loves You. Afraid to Care. They gathered in that barn and heard men like Jimmy Rogers sing songs Waiting for a Train and Frankie and John. People gathered in that great big old barn on Saturday evening, standing room only, to listen to these men and also ladies perform. And that was just pure entertainment. Can I remind you as a church and as a Christian today that our Lord wants you and I to perform.
Amen.
He wants you and I to perform. And guess what? He is the only audience that matters.
Amen.
In my day-by-day walk, in everything I do, the Lord is the only one that I have to please and satisfy.
Amen, brother.
And when I know that I'm pleasing the Lord, who cares what man really thinks? He's calling us to perform. But there's a problem. You can't perform sitting on your rear end 24 hours, 7 days a week. God expects us to do something. And there's a performance that God expects to bring down the walls in our lives. Some of us have built walls up in our lives, and God's trying to get through to us, and He can't. And God expects us to tear down those walls.
Amen.
The wall of self-righteousness. Some of you are so goody-goody. Some of you think you've arrived. Some of you think you're the best thing that's ever hit the church. Can I tell you something? No, you're not. You're nothing but a sinner that's been washed in the red, flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only difference from you today than the street walker, and the only difference from you than the drunk today, is God has miraculously saved you and changed you. And so many of you have pushed people out of the church because you think you're God Himself. You're not God. Hallelujah. There's not but one true God, and He lives inside of us through His Holy Spirit. And one of these glorious days, He is coming for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Glory, glory.
And so we need to tear down that wall. And the old wall of pride. Oh, I'm it. No, you're not. He's it.
Amen.
Oh, I've arrived. No, you haven't. I haven't arrived until I get where I'm going.
Amen.
And church, hallelujah, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know where I am going.
Amen.
If I die today, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And so we got to turn down those walls. The wall of hate has been built. Certain folks, we just hate. We just hate. Can I remind you something? Christ came for the haters. For Christ loves us all. Christ loves us all.
Amen.
In a few weeks, probably another couple of months, the Haven of Rest Women's Shelter is going to be with us. And some of those ladies are going to share with you of how low they got. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of their lowness, Jesus passed by.
Hey, hallelujah.
Always remind yourself, it makes a big difference when Jesus passes by.
Hallelujah.
And they be saved. Some of their families turned against them because of drugs and alcohol. Some of their families no longer have anything to do with them. But let me tell you what the Bible said. Even when your family forsake you, God will always be there.
Hey.
He'll always.
Hallelujah.
And so we've got to break down those walls. Are you ready to tear down those walls? 3 Sundays now, I have been giving you how to whack away the walls in your life. And Joshua and the children of Israel faced a wall that was lengthy and large. And that by the human standards, listen, by the outside, even through your glasses, when they looked at that gigantic wall, they could not go over it. They couldn't go around it. So it had to come down. They didn't know how they was going to do that. And Joshua had already given them a good view on the other side. Can I tell you what's on the other side of your self-righteousness? Can I tell you what's on the other side of your pride? Can I tell you what's on the other side of your hate? I'll tell you what's on the other side. An abundant, joyful life with Jesus.
Hey.
Amen. That's what's on the other side.
Hallelujah.
And Joshua had given them a taste of what's on the other side. And he began to give us a procedure, a guideline. You remember what it was, those of you who were here a couple of Sundays ago? Let me bring you up to par if you were not. He said there must be a personal preparation. Joshua had to prepare himself for the task. He had to get ready to help take down that wall. And he was looking at the ground, and he was so discouraged, and he didn't know what to tell those children of Israel. He had led them there, and now they were dead stop, and he didn't know what to do. And then the Bible said all of a sudden that he looked up, and he saw a captain. Can I remind you, you may be defeated today and discouraged and looking at the ground, but here's my advice to you. Just look up. There is a captain there to help you.
Amen.
Looked up. And he realized that he didn't have to do it by himself. When you ever get to the place, church, to realize that we don't have to do it by ourselves, that's when God does the best.
Amen.
And so there must be a personal preparation. You got to understand you're not in this thing by yourself. God will help you take down those walls. And then last Sunday, he gave to us a powerful plan of taking down that wall. Now listen, there wasn't a weak plan. He said, I want you to march around that. I want you to blow the trumpet. And I want you to shout it. And guess what? You do what I told you. Something's going to happen to the wall. You've got to walk around the city. You've got to blow the trumpet. And then you've got to shout. Now, us Baptists would have had a problem. Do you know how far it was around that city? I'd have gave slap out of breath. I know that. I'd have a problem. We'd have a problem blowing the trumpet. But I'll tell you one thing we'd have a problem with. That is shouting. He said, I got your plan.
Come on.
And even though you may not understand God's plan in your life, can I tell you, it is a powerful plan to get you where he wants you to be so you can receive the blessings that he has.
Amen.
And this morning, if we're going to whack away the walls in our life, there's got to be a personal plan. There's got to be a personal preparation. There's got to be a powerful plan. Listen to this. There's got to be a profitable performance. We have prepared, been given the plan by God, and now we must perform. Just because you've been given the plan, that means you're going to do anything with it. They could have walked over there and said, I don't think that's going to work. We're just going to sit here and come up with our own idea. You know what our problem is in our churches? We don't want to follow God's plan. We want to come up with our own plan.
Amen.
There is nothing wrong with the way God does things. There is nothing wrong with the old-fashioned preaching and teaching of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so they could sit down and say, well, we're going to drink a scoop of coffee and we're going to try to figure this thing out. Too many of you are sitting around trying to figure out God's plan for your life. And then God gives you his plan, and you never act on his plan. You've got to perform.
Come on, brother.
You've got to perform. And then you'll notice something. I want to show you what kind of performance it really was. He's ready to do a miracle, but they've got to perform. Lazy people will never get the walls down in their lives. No. You've got to perform. What are we talking about? Look at verse 6, Joshua chapter 6, picking up in our story of what's transpired. I want you to notice, first of all, the forwardness of their performance. They immediately. I mean, they immediately began to move forward. Now we have a problem wasting time. But they will immediately move forward. You know something? The church is the world's worst of sitting around talking about what needs to be done. Bless God, there comes a time that we get up and do what we already know needs to be done.
Amen.
There's so many people today laying in their beds at home who knew they ought to get up and go to church. Now, why didn't they get up and go to church? Well, some of them say they use the excuse, well, I worked so hard all week. Well, maybe God ought to take the job away. That way they could get more rest during the week so they'd feel like getting up on Sunday. And some of them say, well, you just don't know what I've gone through. Yeah, we may not know what you've gone through, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It doesn't compare to what Christ went through for you.
Amen.
And so I want to remind some of them, and I know there'll be some of these watch this on the computer. They'll watch our service and they'll hear what I've got to say. I want to remind you that the Bible teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And what he says is, when you're physically able and not providentially hindered, you need to be where God's people are.
Amen.
That's what you need. And so some of them are just too lazy. God's given them a plan for their life, tear down the walls, but they never perform. They say, we'll wait till some other time. This crowd didn't do that. They didn't do that. They moved forward. Look what it said. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let's move, guys. Let's move. And let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. They moved forward in the orders. Joshua didn't waste any time. Now, what happened at the burning bush with Moses? Moses wasted some valuable time because he was arguing with God about who he really was and what he ought to do. Church, we're wasting some valuable time sitting around in our lives wondering what we ought to do. God's already told us what we ought to do.
Amen.
And Joshua didn't hesitate. He called the priests and the people together, and he gave them their orders. And by the way, I don't find anywhere in this scripture that he told them that he had talked to the Lord and the Lord had told him what to do. You know what these people were doing? They were going on Joshua's word that Joshua had been with the Lord. Let me stop and say, point of personal privilege right quick. In a little while, just a little bit when we finish, we're going to be talking about our budget, talking about some things. And we, like a lot of churches, are under a shortfall somewhat when it comes to financial things. And if we were the only church in the area who was suffering financially, it's concerned me, but we're not. We're in better shape than a lot of folks and a lot of churches. And so we're going to discuss our budget, and we've been able to go back and do some things and pay some things that we were a little bit behind on, so we've been able to catch up some things. But let me remind you something. If the budget and the giving is going to change, it's going to start with us.
Amen.
It's going to start with us. And you know what would worry me more so? If our church in 2011 had done nothing for Christ, I would be concerned. But can I tell you, in 2011, we had 76 additions into the life of our church. 76 additions. In 2011, do you know that we baptized right at 40 folks?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, listen to me very carefully. Listen very carefully. In spite of a shortfall financially, God has amazingly blessed this church.
Amen.
God bless this church. And so what God has done, He's given us the orders to tear down the wall that might keep us from what God has on the other side. And guess who's responsible for taking down those walls? You and me. And I'm going to tell you this. When I stand in this pulpit and preach, I can guarantee you one thing. No man has told me what to preach. And nobody has ever called me and said, why don't you deal with this? Nobody has ever done that. When I stand up here and preach, I'm preaching what God's told me to preach, whether folks like it or don't like it.
Amen.
Understand that. And we've got to follow His orders. We've got to be obedient and follow His orders. And so Joshua said, okay, guys, let's move. We've got to move. We've got orders to follow. Take up the Ark of the Covenant. You know why he had to take up the Ark of the Covenant? That's representative of the presence of God. Don't ever try to do anything without God in your life.
Amen.
Don't ever try to do anything. And then he said, bear the seven trumpets. That's exactly what the command was. A ram's horn made of ram's horns. And go before the ark of the Lord. He said, take what you need to and move. We as the leaders of Cedar Grove must take the orders that God has given us. And we must move forward.
Amen.
If we sit around and twiddle our thumbs, and if we sit around and miss what God has for us, there may be some folks in our community who will die without Christ.
Amen.
And as beautiful as this building is on the inside, and as pretty as it is on the outside with a steeple that reaches halfway to heaven, I'm going to go ahead and tell you it can be beautiful here, but I want you to understand something. If souls are not being saved, matters not how beautiful a building may be, God still holds us accountable.
Hey, amen.
God.
Right. Preach it, brother. Good preaching.
And so we've got to follow the orders. And then they did something else. Forward in obedience. Look at what he said in verse 7. This is this. And he said unto the people, pass on. Come past the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now listen to verse 8. Listen to what he said. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now the order seems strange. But they followed those orders. What is the Lord looking for in your life and mine? You know what He's looking for? Simple obedience. God just wants us to listen to Him and obey Him. And God wanted them to follow His plan step by step. If the walls are not coming down in your life and you're trying to perform, could it be you're not following the plan that God has for your life?
Amen.
Be obedient to Him. And so they took the trumpets. They took everything that He said. And they went forward toward that wall. Listen to this. Listen to this. Don't ever be afraid of the devil and his crap when you've got the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his crowd on your side.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Now the problem is this. Inside the church is a bunch of little devils who wants to stop God's plan. Now, listen. For the devil implants little devils in the church in hypocritical ways to try to stop what he wants. Can I tell you what God's will for Cedar Grove is? I may not know a whole lot, and don't claim to know a whole lot, but I will tell you I know God's will for this church. God's will for this church is to reach as many men, women, boys, and girls with the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is God's will that we fill this building to capacity. If it was not God's will, then men before me would not have led you to build such a building with all this space. I'll tell you one thing, what God wants us to do is do everything we can to reach people in spite of the few devils who try to tear it down.
Hey. Preach it, brother.
If some of the places around us would burn to the ground where folks sit and talk and gossip about our church and tear things down, this church would be a whole lot stronger than it is right now. Remember, when you're tearing down God's church, you're tearing down Christ. And I'll tell you what upsets me. Tear me down all you want to. Stop me if you want to. But I will tell you what bothers me. When you're tearing down the church, you're tearing down my Christ. And I think my Christ has already went through too much to keep being harassed by a bunch of hypocritical Baptist folk.
Amen.
So we ought to be obedient. Be obedient. Just follow what God has for us to do. The Ark of the Covenant was before and after, representing the presence of the Lord was before them and behind them. Can I tell you where God is today? He's behind you. Can I tell you where God is today? He's in front of you. Can I tell you where God is? He's on the right of you. Can I tell you where God is? He's on the left of you. Can I tell you today where God is? Thank God! He's all around us!
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
It'd been more pleasant to just lay back in the recliners and say, well, this wall's going to come down. God's got to do it. I ain't going to do anything. I've got grain to grind. I've got bread to bake. I've got fruit to enjoy. I've got cows to milk. I don't have time for that silliness of walking around a wall. How pathetic and how stupid. Some folks may not think our one approval is worthy in the church. Can I tell you, church, it doesn't matter what we have to spend on our one problem. Boys and girls are coming to know Christ through it.
Amen. Amen, brother.
People say, well, I just don't see the need of that. Those children don't give anything to the operation of the church. No, they don't give anything to the operation of the church now. But guess what? We get Jesus living inside of them. One day, they may be the biggest supporters of the church.
Amen.
People say, well, that's silliness. No, it's not. No matter what we have to spend on our children, no matter what we have to spend on our youth, every dollar we spend is vital for their growth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People say, well, it's just too many children. It's just too many children. It's just too many youth. And I pastor churches, and I hadn't heard a whole lot of folks grumble about it here. They used to grumble with us and talk about, we have a brand new building in Union, and we just have built a thing. And they used to say, oh, all those children, Preacher Ron's going to mess up our walls, and the walls will be dirty, and it'll be a mess. Look how pretty it is now. And I told them, I said, if the church can't buy a gallon of paint, the church is in serious shape.
Right. Come on.
We have to form and move forward. That's the forwardness of their performance. But I want to show you the faithfulness of their performance. Even though they move forward, it takes faith. Church, if everything was spelled out clear in the church, where would our faith be? Did you not have to have some faith? I wasn't here during that time, watched with great anticipation. But did you not have to have faith to step out and build this kind of facility? You had to. And we yield to what we call an RRR, which simply means to rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice now. And that's how we make our payments on our building. And that's how we do that. We don't have to take money out of the budgets. That's the way we do it. First Sunday comes out of the building fund. You've kept that up. We've been able to keep making our payments. We haven't suffered a payment. We haven't let a payment go. Everything's been good on that. Did you not have to step out in faith to build this building? And can I give you a little bit of advice, Cedar Grove? If we continue to grow and prosper, we're going to have to step out on faith again.
Amen.
We're going to have to do it again. For educational space can only handle so many folks. It's all about faith. And if you don't practice faith, you say, well, I don't know about this faith stuff, but I'm going to tell you, you've never been saved. You get saved by faith. Can you see Christ go? Do you really see? Was you there that day and see him nailed up cross go? Or was you there and see him come out of that grave? No. How do we know Christ died? And how do we know he rose? And how do we know he can live inside of us? Faith. Faith. He tells us, we believe it, we accept it, and we move forward.
Amen.
They had to have faith. That if they did their part, God was going to do his. And so they didn't set out on the hill and say, okay, let's just sit right here. God's going to take down this wall. Let's just sit right here. God's just trying to see what we're going to do. Let's just sit right here, twiddle our thumbs, and worry ourselves to death. Listen to me very carefully. If you quit worrying yourself to death and give it to God, have faith that God's going to take care of it, 95% of the time, God will come through in bigger ways than you ever thought he would.
Amen, brother. Amen.
It's faith. Where's your faith? Faith. When we invite folks to church, we have faith that that we're going to get them to church. We try our best. We have faith that folks are going to come. You had faith when you built this building that people were going to still come to see the growth. You had faith. Faith. We live by faith.
Amen.
I'm going home when I die because of my faith. Not because I'm a Southern Baptist preacher. Southern Baptist preacher has absolutely nothing to do with it. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith, I believe there's a heaven that I'm going to.
Amen.
Faith. Where's our faith? We've got to have faith. What kind of faith do they have? Well, verse 10 tells me they had a disciplined faith. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Unto the day I bid you to shout, then shall ye shout. Do you know what they were known? Do you know what the children of Israel was known for? Really, think about it. You know what they were really known for? Their complaining spirit and criticism. They complained and criticized everything that ever had happened in their lives. Every time God told them to move somewhere, they complained about it. When God sent them manna, do you remember what happened? They complained about it. It wasn't good enough. They were known for criticizing people. And for 40 years, they had characterized themselves in the desert. Now, of course, the nation had crossed Jordan, was the new generation. But they had listened to their parents criticize. Now, listen, parents, listen. Listen. You do your children injustice, and you do your grandchildren injustice when all you do is criticize. But they're listening. They're listening. Do you not think a child hears more than what you say? Try it sometime. Let me go and pull your children down front and ask them a series of questions right now about you. You know what they're going to do? Number one, they're going to be honest. And number two, they're going to tell me everything about you. And there's some of you sitting here now, don't call my child out of my clothes. That's exactly right. And now this generation who had listened to criticism and complaining is told to be quiet. And nobody was to speak, and then Joshua said, speak. Now, I'll be the first one to say, I have a major, major problem keeping my mouth quiet. When I have nobody to talk to, I talk to myself. Now, they used to say folks was crazy for doing that. I beg to differ from them. We just need someone to talk to listen. And sometimes all you want to listen is yourself. But he said, I don't want you to say a thing. Stay real quiet. Don't say a thing. You know why I didn't want to talk? Sometimes you talk yourself out of faith. We can't do this. This will never happen. We can't do it. That wall will fall. Sometimes if you talk too much, you talk yourself out of faith. Just be quiet. Think about what God's told you to do.